It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 541. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Please leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that is all one word on Skype, Mike Tech Show. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow. You can also follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNation.net. You can check out the wiki. That is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, the show notes, the audio. It's a great resource. I have a lot to talk about, a lot to catch up on since we had no show last week. That's my first topic, which I'm going to describe what happened. I lost my voice yelling at three vendors. I was so stressed out, I had to cancel. There was no way I was going to be able to record a show last Thursday night. Then I had one of the busiest weekends of the last few years because it was a major project that was scheduled and it went well. It was just tremendous, where we had a dozen workstations to swap out and back up all the settings and get everything to work right, the new server, and I'm going to talk about that story. I'm going to talk about listener Winston Wolf and his Apple story, his MacBook Pro, which was bricked by an update by Apple. Also, power outage. I'm working tonight. And dealing with that, what do you do when the electric company is taking down the power to a building, and how to prep for that? Then have a couple emails. So let's start out with last Thursday. This is about a business phone changeover where we're going to a true VoIP system, and we're changing out the phone for one of my clients. And I was going to get on my soapbox and rant and, you know, get ugly. So I decided to tell this story a different way. I am going to talk about my nightmare with three clients and the lessons learned. I lost my voice yelling at these three clients, and I've decided I'm not going to vent on the ISP that begins with the letter C, or the 800 number vendor that begins with the letter L, and the phone carrier that shall remain nameless right now, and the lessons learned. Number one, never, ever cut over during business hours. Okay? Just don't do it. Number two, make sure you have complete control over all phone numbers and that the exact company that will do the porting to the new service, you make sure that you have full control and that you know exactly the process and the timing of who will do that. Here's the example. An ISP is billing you for your 800 number, and they are reselling another party's number which they have no control to do the porting. And nobody knew that. So when it came time for the cutover, your 800 number can't get ported because nobody has access to change that 800 number over for the business. Lesson learned. And the third lesson, there's many lessons here. The third lesson is if the CEO and the COO or anyone that has a title, a three-letter title beginning with the letter C, you make sure that they attend some kind of quick training on the use of the new phone. Do not let them get or use a new phone until they have been properly trained. This is the summary of my story. And there's another major lesson there where even if I had no control over many of the things that went wrong, one valuable lesson I've learned that even though you may not be the vendor or control all the details of the vendor, insert yourself into the process. And that's what I did not do. I recommended a phone carrier and then just waited for the install dates. I did not insert myself into the process. Who would ever have imagined that the company and the phone provider would schedule a cutover during business hours? I can't even imagine that. I would never have thought that in my wildest dreams. That happened. And so you can imagine what happened during that last Thursday. It was very ugly. And that spilled even into Friday morning, where I was still working with and yelling at vendors. It was very difficult. So this is a segue right into my weekend, where this has been planned for months for a new hardware swap out for one of my biggest retainer clients. And this is 12 new workstations that are all Dell Windows 8.1 with 256 gig SSD drive, 8 gigs of RAM, very nice systems, 2 gig video card. That these are very small footprints. And I believe they're the Dell 7080 small footprint, nice units. But we have to back up all the settings. I have to migrate the data from one server to the other. And you heard me a couple weeks ago talking about some of that process. One of the things I was disappointed with when I was staging this a week before, I had all the 12 computers lined up and I had an 8-port KVM. Here's the problem. It was an older KVM from years ago that I got from Monoprice, and it's just VGA. And one of the problems, the new video card, and since it's a small footprint, you have very little space where you have a display port and a DVI. And using adapters to go to VGA and then trying to switch between them, that didn't work very well. So I had to basically have one of my sons be a human switch where I started things and he would move the cables to the next system, the next system, the next system. I basically had two racks of six where I was staging, doing a lot of the setups, announcing it to the domain. And I really couldn't even get through all those systems before the project weekend. My main concern was getting the server ready and making sure everything was backed up and SyncBack Pro to the rescue on backing up hundreds and hundreds of gigs of data to a great external drive where I custom built an external NAS, well, just an external drive where I have a great enclosure that I will include into the show notes that you can get from Amazon that has a built-in fan. It's great. It is my go-to external enclosure for any servers. I just love it. And I bought a Western Digital 4 terabyte red NAS drive, put it in there. It just works flawlessly. And it's great for my backups and transferring the data. So I got everything transferred. And then Friday afternoon, I was so glad that they let the workers leave early so we could get an early start. 2 o'clock p.m. on Friday, my son Michael Jr. and I hit getting everybody backing up their settings, their email, using Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro. I had that staged on a 128 gig USB stick, had 8 of them, and we go to each system and would run that and get them all backed up. The typical system actually only had 10 or 11 gigs of data. Many systems were less. And most of that was really the OST file and the PST, because they have 2 email accounts. They have a Google Apps account, and then they have an Exchange hosted email account. You know, I talk about Fabs all the time, but that really saved us going from Outlook 2010 on Windows 7 Ultimate, where they're using Internet Explorer 10, Firefox latest version, and Chrome. They have all 3 browsers and lots of other settings. I was able to back all that up and beautifully restore it to Windows 8.1, Office 2013 Professional Plus. Outlook was just a beautiful, easy migration on the workstations, because Fabs not only took care of all the locations, all of the autocompletes, the signatures, everything, it moved it seamlessly. The only thing it can't back up is the passwords, but I was prepared for that. I had everybody's email password, because everybody has 2 email passwords. I already had them. Once you have the new system and you're restoring back using Fabs, I only had to enter the 2 passwords for Outlook once we launched it, and it was perfect. Every single system upgraded perfectly. Some of the hard work was getting VPNs configured, because they have lots of cloud-based software. This is a financial client that does a lot of financial planning. So they have very secure connections for different systems and software that they must connect to in the cloud. So that had to be carefully configured on all the systems. Made sure that went well. The network printers. One of the difficult challenges was the proximity of these 2 adapters for everybody got dual monitors. And you had this DisplayPort. Now, when the systems got delivered, I wasn't sure what cables I was going to be received either with the monitors or with the system. And I had to buy several DisplayPort to DVI adapters. Now, when you have this long DisplayPort to DVI, and now you're doing a DVI beside it, you have to be very careful. That is a very tight connection. Very difficult. We had that to deal with. Then the CEO system, he had 2 monitors that were VGA connected with long VGA extension cables around his desk. That this desk is too heavy to even think of moving, because I remember setting those cables up 5 years ago when we did this project before. My sons, Ryan and Michael, were in charge of staging the new computers. So once we had everything backed up, they were in charge of setting up the new setup, getting whatever local printer was connected, getting all cables moved and mounted. And so they were faced with these video connections. everything. I had every cable, every adapter known to man that you would need, except the following. And on Saturday afternoon, we had to get a DisplayPort to VGA adapter. And we wanted one where there was a long cable that made that adapter, so it was like 3 or 4 inches. So it gave us some breathing room with the next adapter that was converting DVI to VGA, because I had two VGA connections that had to connect in there. It worked beautifully once we got that adapter. I also had Ken working with us, and here's what Ken was in charge of. Anytime we hit a problem, Ken would be the one to solve it. He became the printer man. He found all the solutions to any printer, any local printer that wasn't happening, where maybe it needed special drivers because it was 8.1 and they're not recognized in the default install of 8.1. He would have to do firmware updates on several printers. The conference room needed Bluetooth keyboard and mouse. Let me tell you something that I'm very disappointed in: the availability of keyboard choices for Bluetooth. There's not many. I found one, and it worked well with the adapter. They have a big screen, and with the system that's in the conference room, you need a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse that can go at the conference room table so you can control anything on the screen. And Microsoft has a great Bluetooth mouse, so that was easy. But getting a keyboard was not. And then I'm worried about which one I would get that I would be able to find. And yes, we got a Logitech Bluetooth keyboard. It's very nice, and it had the numeric keypad, which we wanted because they're going to be entering lots of numbers and things. So I was able to find the right one. Getting that to work sometimes is a challenge. Ken was able to get that all running. What else did we run into? I'm trying to think of the challenges and lessons learned from the migration. Everything went beautiful. The Internet Explorer settings transferring from the one system, their old system, to the new was critical because of all the security settings within Internet Explorer that they need to connect to their broker dealer and all of the different websites. Now, Monday, I was on site first thing in the morning, and except for the differences of how to use Office 2013 and Outlook, I got a few of those questions. We nailed it on getting all of the important data that they needed, all their settings transferred. It was beautiful, and it was all smiles from everybody. And it's such a pleasure to have the president of the company come up and said, "Mike, you did a fabulous job, and this is just wonderful migration." That made up for all the bad that happened on Thursday with the other client and that project. It was really nice that all of my efforts, all of my planning was rewarded on Monday morning. Now, there's an interesting issue that I had no control over. When you're dealing with secure sites and banks and you've changed your computer, and you've probably ran into this personally, when you change computers, they know that with the cookies or what's saved. So now the bank does not trust you, and you have to prove who you are. So they start bringing up the security questions that they haven't answered in 5 years or whatever since they've had that system. I don't have a problem with the security questions because that's the idea. It's a question and an answer that you're not supposed to forget. It's going to be an answer you're going to remember forever. Well, there were a few people that couldn't remember the answer to their security question. Well, how good of a question was that then? I was very surprised at the very specific security question. They didn't remember their answer. And so that was a challenge now because they got to do their work and they can't get into that website. Now, we ran into this on Sunday because I had one of the owners of the company come out and meet me on Sunday to do some testing. And she ran into that. And yes, What is the name of your first pet? What was the color of the first car you purchased? There's so many questions that I was shocked at the users that did not know the answers to that. And certainly that was a challenge because now they have to call that company and prove who they are. Other than that, which I absolutely have no control over, it went really well. And I was just so happy to have that happen for just all of the hours that was put in. And it's nice to be rewarded with your client telling you that you did a great job. So now it's time to prepare the invoices for all that labor. And I'm still not done. There's a couple things that I'm still vetting and testing. And to my surprise, finding a cloud-based storage that we can sync files from a file server to the cloud that is completely FINRA, F-I-N-R-A, compliant. Let me tell you, there are only two vendors that fall into that category. Vault America, which I actually obtained from the FINRA website. And then the other one is Ignite, spelled E-G-N-Y-T-E. Both very different solutions. And I am in the process of vetting and testing both of them. And we will select one as our storage vendor, which then will make them 100% cloud-based for all their data. Yet they have a physical server. So that's why we want to sync the data files that they access on a regular basis. And it will be a true bi-directional sync. So if they edit a file in the cloud when they're off-site, it will sync back to the server. We also will have it, if they edit something on the server, it will automatically sync to the cloud. And then this entire process to be FINRA compliant, and on top of that, the full system image backup and a file backup of certain folders happening every night, doing local to the hard drive and then going to the cloud. So it will be a local and remote process. And I've already tested that, and that's actually working really, really well. Except for tonight. Before the show tonight, and it's for this very client that I'm talking about, I'm on site Monday, and I'm walking around, and I see a gentleman that I've never seen before come in and go to the owner, and all of a sudden I get called, Mike, come on into the office. So I come in, and I'm introduced to the building manager, who's explaining that on Thursday night this week, there will be a power outage from PECO, the electric company provider in the area. They're taking down an entire grid of buildings literally around the corner from me. It's not impacting me here, but it's impacting a few buildings, and my client is in one of them. I had to go in and shut everything down and unplug it. They're building this super CVS or something a couple blocks away, and they have to do a major, PECO has to do something about, you know, the electric, and they have to take down the power for the buildings. They were giving everybody a few days warning. So now, at some point tonight, I'm going to get a text message from the building manager saying that the power's up, and then I got to go over and fire everything up and get everything tested and working. So I'm planning on doing that. It depends. Right now, I'm going to do this at 7 a.m. So I'm going to get up at 6 a.m., get over there by 7 and get everything up, because the first person enters at 8 a.m. and I got to make sure the server and everything's up and running and internet's working, phone system's working. It's frustrating. And anybody that's in our business, what is the you must go through this too, when the building is going to have a power outage. And the first thing I'm glad my clients do, they reach out to me and say, Mike, okay, What do we got to do? Where can we help you? And you have to coordinate. If it's a prolonged outage, you can't live on the UPS. You'll kill the batteries. You have to shut everything down manually and then turn everything on. And very, very frustrating. And, you know, I hate that in the middle of all this. I have that happening tonight. So at any time I can get notified, I'm hoping they notify me about 10 o'clock. I could do this tonight, not have to wake up so early and get over there. So now, after all this, tomorrow my client is upgrading. Verizon's coming out, so I have to be back on site. They're upgrading their service to 300 meg up and down, which is what I have here at my house, and I'm loving it. Love the speed of the up and down internet is just phenomenal. So I got to make sure to make all the changes because they're changing out the front end router. I got to change LAN IPs. I got to do a bunch of things on that router. So I'm going to get a call. They're scheduled to be there at between 11 and 1 or something. So they're going to call me. And since I'm only 5 minutes away, I said, don't let them patch into the network until I get there. But let them start because they're going to have to change out the entire Fios install. They don't have to run new cable, but the whole panel, they have to upgrade and then put the new router in place. So they'll have a little internet outage. I mean, I can throw them to their backup Comcast connection, and I might do that. This way, there's not going to be a problem. So we'll have to see. Now, on to the Apple MacBook Pro story from Winston Wolf. A few nights ago, Winston decides to apply 10.10.3 to his MacBook Pro 17-inch, which is no longer under warranty under Apple Care. Well, it damages the logic board on his system, and it's OS X 10.10.3 that he applies, and it kills his system. He sends me a picture of it, and it's horrible. So I text back, did you unplug it? Did you? He did everything. He tries to put in, and this is where I was shocked. He tries a new hard drive to do a whole fresh install. No. This update damaged the hardware of his MacBook Pro. So we're texting back and forth. I said, you got to call Apple. He calls Apple. He gets no joy. They said, sorry, you're out of warranty. We can't help you. He escalates this to the next level. They cannot help him. Now he's really ticked. The only silver lining is he has an excuse to buy a new system. Apple's update bricked his computer and killed it. They have to be responsible. Now, one of the things I push Winston to is to go to an Apple store because they have more compassion. And I've seen them help many, many people with a situation where they are not under warranty. And I've seen Apple stores take care of clients of mine. So I tell him to absolutely go to an Apple store. Here's the problem. The closest Apple store is 2 hours away. So he has to drive 2 hours. Then he's got a return that's a 2-hour return. And then you know you're going to be there an hour. That's 5 hours out of your day. So he's not looking forward to that. He really doesn't want to do that. I encourage him to do it. I said, you got to do it. They're going to take care of you. He goes, makes the trip, makes the pilgrimage down to that Apple store. They take his MacBook Pro. And I don't have all of the details except that they look at it, and there's also several other people. There's many people that this update has killed their machine because it's really killed the graphics card because everything's just, you can't see anything. It's horrible. They said they will cover it under warranty, and he's shocked that they are going to cover this even though he's out of warranty. They are going to replace the system board. They're replacing that logic board. They're replacing it. And he's going to have a unit. But he has to come back. So he asked them, can't you ship it? No, they can't ship it. He has to go back. So it's nice that they're doing it, but since it's so far away, he returns today. So I get a text that he's going to pick up his MacBook Pro 17-inch, all repaired, all fixed. So he makes the pilgrimage again down to the Apple Store today. And I am happy to report he has a working MacBook Pro that Apple stood behind and made it right by fixing it because their update caused the damage. And I know there are many other vendors that if you're a day past your warranty, that's never going to happen. No matter who you ask to speak to, it's not going to happen. Or it rarely happens. And it's very nice to hear a positive customer service story, but he wasn't getting any of that from Apple on the telephone. And that's where you have to go into the Apple Store and plead your case, and they might help you. Keep that in mind, that if you have a problem with your Apple and it doesn't hurt, it may cost you time to go to the store and then make sure that you plead your case and see what they can do. Maybe even if they didn't cause it and it was self-inflicted damage, they might cut you a break on the labor if you go in. Maybe that's a $400 board that they'll say, look, give us $100, we'll fix it. You never know. It's worth trying. And that's my point here. And that's where I know Winston really didn't want to make that trip down. He didn't want to do that two-hour drive and the two-hour drive back. They did a great job. He's just saying they replaced some missing rubber feet and the keyboard is clean. They did a really fine job of not only repairing it but detailing it. And we don't hear enough positive customer service stories, so I wanted to share that. This is from Terry, who's a regular listener from Arizona. And he says, a friend asked me to block a website for him on his computer. A coworker will borrow his computer, and he wants a website blocked from his coworker. I have used the host file before on other computers, but now I'm having problems blocking the website on his Windows 7 Home Premium computer. I have the following instructions on a site, and he has a WinHelp site here, and I have done this before on Vista and Windows 8.1, but I'm having problems on Windows 7. Just wondering if you have ran into this problem. Thanks for the great podcast, Terry. You know what I'm asking? What can we do to block on a system? I know how to do it on the network, and I could put an untangle box in place and block access to websites. You can also, you know, another way of doing this is OpenDNS. That's an option, but there, you know, a sophisticated user can get around that. What's the best way of blocking content on a computer? And I just wanted to throw that out there to get back your feedback on what you're doing. And that would be great, and I'll share that with everybody. This is from Curtis. Hi, Mike. Funny that you mentioned HIPAA and multifunction printers. I work as support for a third-party dealer, and we offer software that targets this very scenario. Here is a link on this topic. This is, of course, geared towards the software that we support, but the document in question is also linked in this presentation. Don't worry, not trying to sell you something. I'm support, not sales. Thanks for the great show. And this video I am going to put out there, and I want to thank Curtis for sharing that. Your multifunction devices coming under HIPAA compliance. very relevant here. This is from Jeremy. I am a bit behind in listening to your podcast, so if you've already brought this up, please disregard it. Don't ever worry. I know people can only listen when you can, and you may be a few months behind or a few weeks behind. Don't worry. Always send me your feedback and your comments. Google decided a while back to severely change the way in which the Chrome browser handles plugins. Yesterday, with the Chrome 42 update, plugins will no longer work. Java, Silverlight, and other plugins, unless you enable the NPAPI plugin flag, which is very easy to do. In Chrome 42, type Chrome /flags into the address bar. Then look for the enable NPAPI option and select enable. Restart the browser and the plugin should now work as before. Hey, this is a great tip. Thank you. And I have not covered this. Unfortunately, this is only a temporary fix, as this, the ability to enable NPAPI plugins is scheduled to be phased out in September of this year. Hopefully, the vast majority of plugin developers will have completed rewriting their plugins with PPAPI, which Adobe Flash currently uses. But if not, the only acceptable solution will be to use a different browser. I would think sticking with a pro Chrome 42 version could prove to be a policy violation, HIPAA, PCI, etc., depending on what industry you're working in. Yeah, that's possible. I guess we will have to wait and see how everything pans out. And do you have any thoughts or news on the topic? I have not been following the changes with Chrome. I'm actually not a Chrome user, though I have a lot of clients that use Chrome, and my family uses Chrome. I'm still a Firefox guy, but we have to be involved in all of this for all the browsers to support our clients and everybody that we're involved with. He sent me a follow-up email for this. Forgot to include the URL with my previous email, and it goes into a bit of detail about the plugin issue with Chrome 42. It also includes some links to managing the fix with a group policy option and more. That is awesome. And Jeremy, thank you for taking the time to write the email and provide the link. I'll put that in the show notes. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed and supporting the show. And the best way you can show your support is to use my Amazon link. And that's amazon.micnation.net. If you purchase from Amazon or know anyone that uses Amazon, use that link. Your price stays the same. A small commission comes back to support the show, and it really helps. Thank you so much. Also, please remember to support our sponsor, Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com, download the trial version, give it a try. Instant House Call saved me this past weekend. I put that on every computer, and to finish up some of the things, because we were so tired on Friday night, I'd come home and we were applying lots of updates, and I was able to watch the updates and manage them and do some things remotely. I was up at 6 a.m. in the morning on Saturday. We were all going to get together at 9. I'm up a few hours before everybody gets to my house for heading back over, and I'm doing updates and helping finish all the computers. Instant House Call was a godsend for that. And you can try it and get it free for 15 days. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. And also, could not have done that project without Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro. Link will be in the show notes. If you ever have to swap out someone like I did, going from one operating system to another, and you need to catch all those settings and more, that's the software to use. That's it. Thank you for downloading again, as I said, and staying subscribed. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you got something out of it and some lessons learned and that you can use for your business or for your support or for wherever you work, or just hope you enjoyed the show. And please email me, miketechshow@gmail.com, with any of your feedback or any information that you want to share, and I will put it out there and share it with everybody. That's it. Thank you. I will see you back here next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.